News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pratik Ritsen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. She lay on a hospital bed, her left foot in plaster cast, strung to an iron stand. But an immobilized Mamata Banerjee on Thursday had West Bengal in ferment as supporters of her ruling TMC and rival BJP clashed over the alleged attack on her in Nandigram the day before. The BJP demanded a CBI inquiry over the alleged assault to ascertain if the incident was staged. While a high-level TMC delegation met the chief electoral officer of the state and insisted the Election Commission cannot absolve itself of culpability, insisting that maintaining law and order was the EC's responsibility once the election has been announced. Responding to the party's allegations, the Election Commission on Thursday sent a strongly worded letter to the Trinamool Congress, saying it looks undignified to even respond to allegations that the poll panel is doing things in the state at the behest of a particular party. The EC said at the outset, it needs to be stated that injuries sustained by Banerjee in Nandigram is indeed an unfortunate incident and deserves to be inquired into with promptitude and dispatch. It is completely incorrect to suggest that the Election Commission has taken over the law and order machinery in the state in the name of conducting elections and appropriated the whole governance structure, the poll panel said. This virtually tantamounts to undermining the very foundation of the Constitution of India, the most sacrosanct document in a democratic polity. The Commission does not appropriate or take over the day-to-day governance of any state, including West Bengal, the letter by Rakesh Kumar, Secretary EC, reads. The Election Commission had on Tuesday ordered the removal of Virendra as the Director General of Police of poll-bound West Bengal with immediate effect and appointed P. Niraj Nayan in his place, a move that the TMC suggested resulted in the Nandigram incident. Meanwhile, Banerjee, who was heckled and received severe injuries on her left leg in Nandigram while getting into her car after interacting with the local villagers in Birulia Bazar in East Midnapur, has decided to address a series of public meetings in a wheelchair in the coming few days depending on her health situation. Party insiders said that Mamata decided to address public meetings in a wheelchair from March 16 onwards despite having multiple injuries on her ankle and shoulder. Our slogan will be Khela Hobe Bhanga Pai. We will play with broken legs, he said. Earlier, she had planned to hold public rallies at various places from March 13 onwards, but doctors have advised her complete bed rest for the next 2 days. She will be under observation for the next 2 days, and only after that we will suggest whether she can be released or not. But she needs to take utmost precautions while going into public places in a wheelchair, a senior doctor at SSKM College and Hospital said. On Thursday, Mamata issued a video statement while lying in hospital bed, requesting people to stay calm and not to indulge in any law and order violation. She said, I would like to request my beloved brothers and sisters to maintain peace and stay healthy. Please don't do anything which will affect the normal life. I would like to tell my party workers and common people that I actually received injuries on my left heel and ankle. There are minor soft tissue and ligament injuries. I received injuries on my head, right shoulder and right forearm. While recalling the previous day's incident, she said, I was standing on the rear seat with my body outside to greet the people. Suddenly the door slammed shut on my feet and I received injuries. Then I complained of chest pain and had medicines that I was carrying. In the coming 2 to 3 days, I will be back to meet my people. I will manage with the help of a wheelchair despite my injuries. I don't want to waste my meetings in this time of crisis. I need cooperation from my people. Prime Minister Narendra Modi will flag off a padyatra from the Sabarmati Ashram to Dandi on March 12 to launch the nation's 75th year of Independence Day celebrations. He will also inaugurate a number of key initiatives and digital programs running for 75 weeks leading up to August 15. 2022 to mark the occasion. The celebration Azadi Ka Amrit Mahotsav is a series of events to be organized by the Government of India to commemorate this landmark occasion with a lot of public participation. Modi is also expected to address the gathering and give the nation a message on why this historic occasion is special for each and every Indian. The Prime Minister will also throw some light on what his government plans to do in keeping the target of New India in mind, an India of our dreams when the independent nation turns 100 in 2047. The march from Mahatma Gandhi's ashram will see 81 people leading it from the Sabarmati ashram to Dandi in about 25 days, covering a distance of nearly 400 kilometers. The President of India, Ramnath Kovind, is expected to be present at the closing ceremony when the march reaches Dandi. Culture Minister Prahlad Patel will be leading the march in the first lap of 75 kilometers, and different groups of people will be joining the march on its way. China's parliament on Thursday adopted the 14th five-year plan, the mega blueprint containing billions of dollars worth of projects, including the controversial hydropower project on the Brahmaputra River in Tibet, close to the Arunachal Pradesh border, over which India has raised concerns. The National People's Congress, China's legislature with over 2,000 members, mostly drawn from the ruling Communist Party, adopted the 14th five-year plan, that is 2021 to 2025, for national economic and social development and the long-range objectives through the year 2035 on the last day of its six-day session on Thursday, official media reported. Attended by Chinese President Xi Jinping, Premier Li Keqiang and others, the NPC approved a development blueprint which contains 60 proposals for speeding up China's development. It was passed by the Communist Party of China last year. The 14th five-year plan included building the dam on the lower reaches of the Brahmaputra River, over which India and Bangladesh, the riparian states, have raised concerns. China has downplayed such anxieties, saying it would keep their interests in mind. As a lower riparian state with considerable established user rights to the waters of the transborder rivers, the Indian government has consistently conveyed its views and concerns to the Chinese authorities and has urged them to ensure that the interests of downstream states are not harmed by any activities in upstream areas. Che Dalha, Deputy Communist Party Chief of the Tibet Autonomous Region, said during the NPC session that authorities there should strive to begin construction of the dam this year. Comprehensive planning and environmental impact assessments for the project should be approved as soon as possible, he said last Saturday on the sidelines of the NPC session. Hong Kong-based South China Morning Post quoted a press release from the provincial government in Tibet. She also said that the exploration of natural gas in northern Tibet should be one of the focuses of the country's energy development goals over the next 5 years. The plan envisages building the dam at Medok County, where the Yarlung Zangbo Grand Canyon is located. Medok is the last county in Tibet which borders Arunachal Pradesh. The plan was first revealed late last year by Yan Ziyong, chairman of the Power Construction Corporation of China, or Power China. He said China will implement hydropower exploitation in the downstream of the Yarlung Zangbo River, the Tibetan name for Brahmaputra, and this was clearly put forward in the proposals for formulating the country's 14th five-year plan and its long-term goals through 2035, made by the Central Committee of the CPC. There is no parallel in history. It will be a historic opportunity for the Chinese hydropower industry, Yan was quoted saying by the official media at a conference to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the founding of the China Society for Hydropower Engineering. China has already operationalized the US $1.5 billion Zhangmu Hydropower Station, the largest in Tibet, in 2015. India and China have established expert-level mechanism in 2006 to discuss various issues related to transborder rivers. Prince William insisted on Thursday that his family is not racist as he became the first British royal to speak out about accusations of bigotry made by Prince Harry and Meghan, his brother and sister-in-law. William made the comments in response to questions shouted at him by reporters during a visit to an East London school. While members of the royal family often ignore such queries, William used the opportunity to address the explosive allegations that have rocked the monarchy. "We are very much not a racist family," William, 38, said as his wife, Kate, walked by his side. Buckingham Palace is struggling to quiet criticism after Harry and Meghan alleged that the Duchess was the victim of racism and callous treatment during her time as a working member of the royal family. The palace tried to respond to the charges made during an interview with US TV host Oprah Winfrey with a 61-word statement that critics called too little too late. William, second in line to the throne after his father, Prince Charles, made the comments during a visit to School 21 to mark students' return to classrooms following a national lockdown. Harry, 36, and Meghan, 39, walked away from royal duties last year and moved to California, saying they wanted to escape the intrusive British media and live a normal life. Meghan, who is biracial, said in the interview that she was so isolated and miserable as a working member of the royal family that she had suicidal thoughts. She also said Harry told her that a member of the royal family had expressed concerns about the colour of her baby's skin before the birth of their son, Archie. The interview also revealed tensions between Harry and William, who had long been seen as close and who supported each other after the death of their mother, Princess Diana. When asked about his relationship with William, Harry said, "Time heals all things, hopefully." William said Thursday that he hadn't yet spoken to his younger brother since the interview, but he said, "I will do." Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.